This is Beyond the Headlines on Reno Public Radio. I'm Will Stone.
And I'm Michelle Bliss.
Today, we're joined by Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid to talk about Tahoe, the economy, and politics in Northern Nevada. Senator, thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
You're in town in part for the annual Lake Tahoe Summit. Last year, the theme was celebrating the progress that's been made. There's been more than $1 billion of investment, and the lake's clarity has stabilized. How should we tackle these huge problems? With legislation or?
Well, we can't ignore them. Drought, wildfires, invasive species, each one of those issues are directly related to climate change. I can't imagine anyone denying climate change, but they do. Scientists don't. Except unless it's some rare, it doesn't happen very often. The climate is changing dramatically all over the world, but we see it here in the United States. We're getting the same amount of water most every place, but it's coming in such rapid quantities that, you know, we have, if you can imagine, we had, it's raining in certain places, rains 3 or 4 inches in an hour or two. Well, that never happened before, rarely. So we have wildfires. Look what they've done to Nevada. I'm so despondent over our non-reaction to this phenomenon.
And what about the Lake Tahoe Restoration Act? Last year, you and others were hoping it would be a new source of money for research and restoration at the lake, but that seems to have stalled in Congress so far. Are you optimistic?
It's stalled in Congress like virtually everything else. What has happened with the Republican-dominated House of Representatives and the Republicans we have in the Senate who are so afraid, about 40 of them are Tea Party. The rest of them are afraid of the Tea Party, with rare exception. And so we're getting nothing done. Nothing. The Tahoe Restoration Act is only one thing. We're not even doing the basic work of government. We're not repairing our roads. We're not building new roads. We have 70,000 deficient bridges in the country. We have infrastructure, $3 trillion deficit with infrastructure, and we're doing nothing. All the programs that people are talking about doing, we have robbed everything. We've had sequestration. We've done some of these senseless things that will take generations to overcome with the National Institutes of Health and other programs. I just can't imagine how they can continue on this path. People are worried about the deficit. The Bible for that was the Bowles-Simpson Commission. They said the goal was $4 trillion. We're there, so stop it. Let's do something that's going to create some jobs. Private sector, thank goodness, have been doing some things to create some jobs, but no public sector jobs. First time in the history of the country, we've had a major economic recession, depression, call it whatever you want, and then the government does nothing to help get out of it. It's all been left to the private sector.
Nevada still has one of the higher unemployment rates in the country. Last month, it was 7.7%. What can be done in D.C. to help Nevadans, given where we are?
Well, the private sector in Nevada is doing their share. I mean, we have in southern Nevada, we have $8 billion in construction projects that are on the drawing boards. We're going to dedicate one of those toward the end of September, where there's a $4 billion project going in along the strip. We've got a man from Australia talking about doing another big project. We're opening a new hotel, the Old Sahara, that's going to be great for jobs. And up here in northern Nevada, the Indian gaming has hurt tremendously the resort industry up here. But on the good news of it, there's a lot of things happening because of Silicon Valley simply being too expensive. We got people coming over the hill. We've got Amazon doing a big project up here. We got Google. We got all kinds of projects up here that are going on that are good in the private sector. We need public sector help.
One game changer for economic development here in northern Nevada could be landing Tesla's $5 billion gigafactory. Can you talk about what that would mean for our region and for the state, Senator?
It would mean a lot, but let's not get our hopes up too high. I appreciate Governor Sandoval keeping me informed as what he's done in this. He's worked very hard, and I've tried to be as helpful as I can be. But this has been held out here and kind of like a carrot on a stick for a long time. Nevada's a small government. We can't give the goodies that states like Texas and California and other places can give. So I'm glad to hear you bring that up. It would be great for the state of Nevada, but don't start counting in the jobs yet.
So are you against creating an incentive package for
Tesla?
No,
I'm totally in favor of it. The governor's kept me informed as to what's going on. But it's hard for us to compete with other states because we don't have the resources to do it.
Before we talked about Tesla, you mentioned diversifying our economy with companies like Amazon and Google and moving beyond gaming. What other types of industries do you think Nevada should really be pursuing in the upcoming years?
For the many years I've been involved in government, we've always talked about diversifying our economy. And that's good we do that. That's important. And we have mining, which creates a lot of jobs. But the number one economic factor in the state of Nevada has been and will be our leisure resort industry. We got Lake Tahoe. We have beautiful Reno with all the attributes that it has. We have Southern Nevada, of course. So we should do everything we can to diversify the economy. But all should understand the number one program in the state of Nevada is leisure time.
Senator, we have elections coming up in just a few months here in Nevada. And this weekend, you were talking with the Washoe County Democrats about that. This year, there are several high-profile races, but probably the most talked about is that race for lieutenant governor between Republican State Senator Mark Hutchinson and Democratic Assemblywoman Lucy Flores, who you've been very supportive of. What do you see in her as a candidate?
First of all, her life story is something that everyone in Nevada should recognize as an important attribute to a person to serve the public. Lucy's had great life experiences. She struggled to get through school. She worked hard in law school. She's a prominent lawyer. She did a good job in the legislature. She is articulate. She's just a charismatic woman, and I think she's going to win the race.
So traditionally, the office of lieutenant governor doesn't have much impact.
I don't know about that. I was a lieutenant governor. I thought I was pretty powerful.
Why not run her for governor instead? I mean, is
this a rehearsal?
Same
reason I didn't run for governor. She wanted to run for lieutenant governor. That's the spot that I thought was best for her.
So then when you think about the health of the Democratic Party in Nevada and the challenges that you face, including just getting people out to vote in a non-presidential election year and contending with a very popular Republican governor, what does the party need to do to be successful here in the coming years?
Well, we have the most successful state party in the country today. We're known all around the country for the state Democratic Party here. Constitutional offices, we control virtually all of them. We don't have a good candidate to run for governor, I'm sorry to say, but we tried and it didn't work out that way. But, you know, we're favored to win the controller's race, the treasurer's race, secretary of state, attorney general, and I think we're going to win the lieutenant governor. That's not bad. We're going to control the assembly by a significant margin. I think we're going to maintain control of the Senate. Not bad.
At the event over the weekend, you did talk about just the concern of having so much out-of-state money flowing into these races, right, even for the constitutional offices.
Yeah, the Koch brothers are trying to buy America, not only the Senate, not only the House of Representatives, not only governor's races, but they're involved in some of these state races. These people have so much money that they know what to do with it, and every dollar they spend is to help them. They want to make more money, and the American people in Nevada should be aware of how really awful that is to think that two brothers who've been so fortunate to make the money they have are now trying to make more money, and they don't care what happens. They're not interested in the environment. They're not interested in the rights of women. They're not interested in or people who middle class people who work for a living. What they're for is themselves.
Many people do speculate that Governor Sandoval may run against you in a few years. Is that a serious concern for the Democratic Party?
I've been involved in public office for a long time, and I've had lots of opponents. If he wants to run, it's free country.
I think we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about education, especially as Nevada consistently ranks very low for our education system compared with those of other states. I'm wondering what concrete steps you have on your mind for what can happen in D.C. to improve our education standing.
You think very low considers being last? We contribute less to public education than any state in the country. That should give us all pause. Now, I feel comfortable with what I've been able to do to help from a federal level. I think Sandoval would acknowledge that what we were able to do in the stimulus bill and other programs, we saved the state of Nevada. More than $500 million we got in the stimulus bill alone to help the state of Nevada with its education program. But we're limited in the state, what the federal government can do. These are issues that relate to the state, and the state's going to have to figure out a way to do a better job in the state of Nevada, because I don't know how anyone can feel good about being last. That's Arkansas, that's Mississippi, that's Alaska, all the states. We're at the bottom of the rung, and it hurts us economically. When somebody wants to move a business to the state of Nevada or move a family to the state of Nevada, they look at education. They say, well, damn, I can't believe that.
Sir, are you in support of the 2% margins tax as a way to deal with this issue?
The only thing I could do with the margins tax is confuse the issue. It is none of, you know, I will vote the way I need to vote, but I'm not going to start. I got so many issues to deal with on the federal level that I think I'd be well advised just to stay the hell out of that.
Senator Reid, you've been a champion of immigration policy. Do you think any big legislative breakthroughs are on the horizon for that issue?
Well, we passed a law more than a year ago in the Senate. It was bipartisan. It was a really a good bill. It did so many things that were good for the country, including reducing our debt. Our debt, I repeat for the third time, our debt by $1 trillion. It went to the House of Representatives, into the graveyard of all good legislation. And they have done nothing with this, nothing. If Boehner would allow a vote, it would pass overwhelmingly. 90% or more of Democrats would vote for it, and I think half the Republicans would vote for it. But he's trying to make sure that the crazies in his caucus aren't offended by his allowing this vote to take place. If he allowed the vote to take place, I repeat, it would pass overwhelmingly. It would be so good for our country.
Okay. Thank you so much for joining us, Senator.
My pleasure, you guys.